ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं
नरं
चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये। सो आई विल रीड टुनाइट 66 वर्स फ्रॉम द सेकंड चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद् गीता which is called Contents of the Gita Summarized. Nasti buddhi rayuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayatah shantir asantasya kutah sukham. Translation. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Purport. Unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. So it is confirmed in the fifth chapter that when one understands that Krishna is the only enjoyer of all the good results of sacrifice and penance, that he is the proprietor of all universal manifestations, and that he is the real friend of all living entities, then only one can have real peace. Therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace. However much he may make a show of peace and spiritual advancement in life, Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested, peaceful condition which can be achieved only in the relationship with Krishna. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayatah shantir asantasya kutah sukham. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Daishatarine Vanchakalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'm very much honored to be able to address you tonight. Thank you very much for inviting me and for engaging me in this way. Because as Krishna says here in this verse, without this kind of engagement, there is no possibility of happiness. It's actually very interesting because explicitly Krishna here reveals the purpose why he speaks Bhagavad Gita. And his purpose is simple. He wants us to be happy. Because he is happy himself. Somebody who is happy, who is always happy, he naturally wants to make everyone else happy. And this is his inherent quality. He wants to make everyone happy and peaceful. And here he explains that the only possibility of being happy, preliminary condition of being happy, is to be peaceful. Ashantasya kutasuka. Without shanti, without peace, how you can be happy? Of course, this kind of concept is becoming more and more foreign in the modern world. Nowadays, people, they don't understand what peace means. They think that happiness is to run around. And the more you run, the happier you are. People are so conditioned to this state of being in Rajagun, in passion, that they cannot imagine that. They think that peace means, you know, you just become dull and sleep. So these Rajasic people, they cannot understand what peace means. But Krishna, he states very strongly that the peace comes from Sattvagun. And happiness comes from Sattvagun. When you reach Sattvagun, then there is a kind of happiness which is naturally coming. But then he says, to achieve peace, here he is very clearly stating this, that to achieve peace, your intelligence has to be connected with Krishna. Asti buddhira yuktasya, he says, if the intelligence is not connected with Krishna, if the intelligence is on its own, there is no peace. There is no chance of peace. And Prabhupada, he gives a genius explanation of this verse. He says that disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. It's a very profound statement. He says that unless you have the ultimate goal, you will be disturbed. Why? Because you will have so many other goals. And because you will have so many other goals, you will more or less lose your intelligence in trying to pursue these different goals. And by losing your intelligence in trying to pursue this goal and that goal and this goal and that goal, you ultimately will lose peace because you will not know where to go, what is the way to go. Krishna himself speaks about this a few verses before when he says, Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya pahrita chetasam. When people are after Boga and Aishwarya, and they want enjoyment and power. Aishwarya may mean opulence, and Aishwarya, of course, means power. He says, Taya pahrita chetasam, they lose their intelligence. And then he says, Bahusakahyanandascha. He says that the people who are after this Boga and Aishwarya, they become, their intelligence becomes many-branched. It means that they have so many goals. And in these so many goals, they lose their identity. What happens with such people, and it's very tragic. And Krishna knows this. Krishna knows this better than anyone else. He says that their identity becomes split. You know, that there is this disease which is called schizophrenia. And schizophrenia means that you don't really know who you are. You know, you have split personality. So, when people have goals, they invest their personality into these goals. And when they have so many goals, and when all these goals are not united with the ultimate goal, when all these goals are kind of, you know, this goal and that goal and this goal, and they don't know who they are. Because ultimately, if you're pursuing some goal, you more or less identify with this path and this becomes your identity. And if you have so many goals, you become multiple identity. You are this and you are that and you go somewhere in this environment you're playing one role, in another environment you're playing another role. So you have this condition of being split. And when your identity or personality is split, you become weak. And that's exactly what happened with Arjuna. Arjuna is such a powerful fighter before the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. And this powerful fighter, he couldn't do anything. He says, no, I should just, my mind is reeling. The Gandiva bow is falling out from my hands and I cannot do anything. I want to run. So that's exactly what happened with people who have so many goals and who are ultimately bewildered. And Krishna explains this before that. He speaks about this degradation of the soul when you have come, when you have the desire, material desire, and you want to fulfill this material desire, and you identify yourself with material desire. It becomes such a strong force that ultimately you lose your intelligence. And he says, buddhi nasha pranashyati. When the people lose their intelligence, when they lose this intelligence in the pursuit of so many goals, they become useless, pranashyati. They become lost in this material world. So, here he says what we should do. As in every verse of Bhagavad Gita, he says that the only way to become happy is to have your personality again together. You have to have your identity very firmly established. And your identity is established only in one condition, if you have connection with Krishna, if you have this ultimate goal. Basically, your intelligence has to be connected with this ultimate goal. Because the intelligence is a faculty which can set the goal and which can reach the goal. This is a special ability which we have. When we set a goal and when we reach the goal, pursue the goal, this is being done through the intelligence. So he says, if you have one goal, only one goal, which is the highest goal, highest possible goal, everything else is included. And you have this one goal, it means you have only one intelligence. The intelligence is not split. And he says, it's in itself is a peaceful condition. Prabhupada, he finishes this purport by saying that Krishna consciousness is a self-manifest, peaceful condition, which can be achieved only in relationship with Krishna. He says that when you have this highest goal, and when all other goals are subsidiary, not so important in your life, then only you can have peace because you're connected with this immovable goal. What happens if you have so many different goals? Then, you know, these goals, they're fickle. They're flickering. And you're running on this goal disappears. Or you achieve this goal and you feel something is still lacking. And you think, probably something is wrong with this goal. I have to have another goal, and another goal, and another goal. So people, they're running to fulfill their desires, and they're losing themselves in this useless pursuit of trying to be happy by fulfilling their desires. But Krishna says it's very easy to be happy. Everyone can be happy. Immediately can be happy. If you set this goal, see this goal, and understand that everything else is included within this goal, and this goal is inside you, if your intelligence is connected with Krishna, then immediately you become happy. Immediately you become peaceful. And this is real. This is not something unreal. when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, it's basically to remind us that there is only one goal. But what happens when we chant Hare Krishna mantra? We still think about so many other things. We're supposed to think Krishna is the goal. Because he is everything. He is the best friend. He is the proprietor of everything. He is everything. You know, if you get Krishna, you get everything with him. Everything is included. You don't need anything else. This is the full package. With Krishna you have everything. But if you try to get this and this and that, you will always be frustrated. So Krishna says, set this one goal, be fixed on this goal, and then you will be happy. But if you are not doing this, then you will not be happy. So that's exactly what happened when we chant. If we chant and we understand that Krishna is the goal, and He's already there because He is in His holy name, then you immediately become happy. Recently I had an interesting experience with brahmacharis. We live in Moscow with some 40 brahmacharis in a little house in an ashram. So I was supposed to give a brahmachari class there. And I wanted to give them some experience, because we are good at talking, but sometimes, you know, it becomes kind of useless exercise. We're just talking and talking and talking, and nothing happens, really. So I thought, let's do something. Let's experience something. And I was thinking about some verses in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is explaining how one should be engaged. What it really means to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Because here it is, nasti buddhira yuktasya, when your mind or intelligence is engaged in Krishna consciousness. It means you have only one goal. It means you're not interested in all this temporary kind of results and fruits of your actions. You're not really into it. You know that you're doing, you have to do something, but your real goal is Krishna. But it's easy to say. Krishna speaks it again and again and again, and we know this, and we give lectures about this. But when it comes to doing this, it's difficult. Because we still think, you know, hey, Krishna is so far away, and I need this and this and that. It's not becoming the reality of our life. So, what really happens when we become attached to the fruits of our actions? And the fruits are always in the future. Then when we act, we don't really concentrate on the action itself. We always dream about the future. And the natural condition of human mind, somehow or other, the mind is very averse to be at present. We always want to be somewhere else. You know, we're dreaming what I will get, how I will be happy. We're sitting now here, and I have been sitting in many lectures. I know how it feels, you know. You listen a little bit and then your mind goes somewhere in the future, how you will enjoy it here and there, when you will get this or that. So usually what happens with the mind, in this condition, when the mind is not really connected with Krishna, when it's only theoretically, for pro forma sake, connected with Krishna, but if it's not really connected with Krishna, then the mind is always in the fruits. It means that the mind is always in the future. You know, something nice will happen with me. I will get something nice. I will experience something nice. And sometimes it goes back in the past. And you think, oh, that was nice. Oh, that was bad. So we're only at present when the mind is passing from future to the past. You know, when he's quickly... Pshoo, so this little split second we are in present. And that means we are not happy. Because you can only be happy when you are here and now. And basically Krishna consciousness, and Krishna is teaching this, is to be here. Not to be somewhere else. Not to be in your mind. Because when you are in the future, you cannot concentrate on what you are doing. And because you cannot concentrate on what you are doing, it becomes tedious and it becomes boring. If you have this little ability to concentrate on what you are doing, when your mind is totally absorbed, you immediately become happy. So, I was explaining this to brahmacharis, how we always not here. Even when we chant, we think that something more important will happen in the future. What can be more important? You are basically associating with Krishna, who is the supreme friend, who is the supreme proprietor, who is everything. You're supposed to speak with him, and your mind is somewhere else. You know, who cares about this Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Let me think about something nice. So that's exactly what happened. So we made a little experiment with the brahmacharis. how to be here and now. It's a little, you know, exercise which we did. I asked the brahmacharis to make some round, to take each other with the hands. And somebody should be inside this circle. And I asked this person, you have to come to somebody from this circle. And you have to tell him something, but from the bottom of your heart. So that his heart would be melted. And only if you will be able to melt the heart of this person, he will let you out from this circle. If his heart will not felt, he will just keep hold on hands. And it was such a traumatic experience for everyone. You know, they were trying and they were... But, you know, it's difficult to be yourself. Because we're used to play so many roles. And we have all these different roles and, you know, and playing. And to say something, to come... It's such a difficult job to come to somebody and to invest all your consciousness in this conversation. Basically, what Krishna is teaching us, when you're doing something, this is the most important thing in your life. Now. And what you're doing is the most important. That person with whom you're associating is the most important. Put all your consciousness there. Not be somewhere else. Be here. So they were trying, and it was difficult, and, you know, there was struggle there, and, you know, but somebody managed this, and it was interesting experience. So that was preliminary exercise. And then I told them, sit in this circle and chant. Chant just one round. But chant this round not for the sake of yourself, not for the sake of some fruits, but try to, you know, really chant this round for the sake of those people who are around you. Just invest all your consciousness and pray for them. Pray for them. And they were praying, and I saw, I was watching. It was amazing, you know. The whole atmosphere transformed. It was Vaikuntha. There was no anxiety. Everyone was... And then the last exercise was, and then they were sharing their experience. And the last exercise was just to chant again, one round. But for the sake of Krishna. So that Krishna's heart would melt. Do it with all your sincerity. With all your intelligence connected with him, with all your, you know, consciousness invested into this process. And they were chanting this one round. And they, there are many people who were chanting 10 years. They came to me after this exercise. They said that this was the most amazing experience in my life. I never experienced anything like that. They were so happy. And that was real. Because for the split second, through this psychological trick, we made them to be present here and now and chant with full concentration. And immediately when your consciousness is connected through this chanting process with Krishna, you experience Krishna. And somebody said, oh, I just felt that, you know, it's not only Krishna, it's also Radha, and they're looking at me, you know. And all this kind of funny kind of feelings. Usually they don't feel anything. Are you That's it, 16 rounds done. But when you do it, as Krishna says, connect your intelligence with me through this goal, because this goal is the goal. Everything else is not the goal. You just imagine that you have all your desires fulfilled. You know, you have the complete list of all your desires, which will probably take few volumes. You know. And just imagine that they are all fulfilled. You know, you have everything possible you need. What you will feel probably totally bored. You know? And the new desires will fill up the gap. But Krishna says, this is the way. The way to be happy is to have the ultimate goal, which is the real goal. Because all other goals are not real. Because when you achieve any other goal, let's say you have, I don't know, on the way here we saw some funny car which has the color of my cloth. And Shruti, being an experienced Englishman, told me that this car costs £350,000. So just imagine that you're driving this car, which is sannyasi colored cloth, which cost.
Then the car can give a class.
£350,000. So what? Will it make you happy? No. It will make, it may give you some little temporary kind of, you know, pride or whatever, but ultimately it will not solve any of your problems. It's useless. It's futile. It's totally useless. It has no relationship with your heart, with your consciousness, with your mind. It doesn't give you peace. On the contrary, it will give you so much anxieties. You will always be in anxiety. Somebody will smash my car, somebody will stole my car, somebody will do this with my car. It will not bring you peace. It will just make you miserable totally, even though it's a very renowned car.
Not my Vauxhall, by the way.
Yeah, you are freedom.
This is your weekend, Ashley.
My Vauxhall.
So, Krishna says, Prabhupada explains here, you can only have peace if you have the ultimate goal. Because this is the condition in which your mind is fixed. Your mind is fixed on this ultimate goal and you don't care about anything else. You're just happy having this ultimate goal and you become happy. Immediately. It's a real experience. It's not just imagination. It's something. The intensity of this happiness is so great that it cannot be imagined. It's not just you just imagined you are happy. You're just chanting concentratedly and the happiness comes, you know. It's you know, people were crying. For the first time I saw what it means to chant the holy name. Because everyone says Nainam Galadashrudaraya Vananam Gadgadarudaya Gira Plakarni Chitaya Bukadatavanama Drahane Bhavishati. Lord Chaitanya says, when this moment comes, when I chant your holy name and I will cry. So what I saw few brahmacharis already in a state of bhava. They were crying while chanting this holy name. Only because they were connected with the holy name. Only because they were connected with Krishna. And that's exactly what Krishna is saying here. If your mind, if your intelligence is connected with Krishna, you become happy. You become peaceful. And then you transcend even the peaceful condition. You become much more happy than just simple peace. Because this is something, some amazing experience which everyone can do. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this. He explains what it means and how it works. In Jaiva Dharma, he asks a very interesting question, which we have to know an answer for. He says, in all the scriptures it is said that you have just to chant Hare Krishna mantra once to be completely happy. If you do it properly, then all your sins, all your sins, all your dirt is washed away. Why do we have to chant 16 rounds? Or why do we have to chant 64 rounds? Or why do we have to chant so many rounds? Just chant it once. Just sit down and chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's it. Your job is done. To the rest of eternity. All your sins are gone away. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is asking, why? Because, see, in all the Vedas, there is a lot of eulogy, a lot of glorification of the holy name. And he said that there's five topics or five types of statements in the Vedas. It's Vidhi, Nisheda, Mantra, Arthavat, and Namadheya. Vidhi means the statement which tells you what to do. Nisheda, statement which prohibits or forbids you to do something. And then Mantra, the special mantras. And then Arthavat, which is glorification, which is somewhat exaggerated. And Namadheya. Namadheya is a certain statement which consists only of the names. Names are the specific category in the Vedas. Names of God. And everywhere throughout all the scriptures it is said again and again and again that the ultimate goal of human life is to chant the holy name. And it solves so much stress that it is said, you have to chant it once. There was a nice story, I think I maybe told it, but I can tell it again. It's a nice story from Ramayana about Guhak, about the previous life of Guhak. And it was one king. And this king was somehow or other he killed a Brahmana. And he was so morose and he didn't know what to do. So he went to different Brahmanas asking for some forgiveness or for some remedy, for some prayaschit, what he should do to purify. And nobody gave him any prayaschit and said, you just commit suicide, drink ghee or whatever. No way. You cannot be forgiven. You will go to hell for this. So ultimately he came to an ashram, little ashram, in a forest. And he saw a little boy playing around. And he asked, where is your father? And he said, my father is gone, but maybe I can help you. And the king was so desperate, he said, maybe you can help me. So I killed the Brahmana. And I'm looking for some remedial measure for prayaschit. You must have been hearing your father giving so many advices. Maybe you can give me advice. He said, yeah, of course I'll give you advice. He said, you just chant the holy name of Ram 3 times and all your sins will be gone, because my father says this, you know, this holy name is so powerful. Just chant 3 times holy name of Ram. So the king became very enlivened. So he chanted Ram, Ram, Ram. Then he thought a little bit and he chanted one more time, just in case. And he felt the relief. He immediately felt that something good is happening to his heart. The heart is becoming purified. So he was on his way out from this ashram and he saw the father coming back, Rishi Muni. And the father saw the king. They bowed down. The king bowed down to this Rishi. And the Rishi said, why are you so happy? He said, your son is so good. Your son gave me such a nice advice. What is the advice to him? I asked him, what should I do to be relieved from the sin of killing Brahman? And he quoted so many scriptures and he said, you chant 3 times the holy name of Ram. And when father heard this, he became so angry. He said, my son is an atheist. He should be out immediately. He said, how is your son is atheist? He said, because he said that you will be relieved from the sin by chanting the holy name of Ram 3 times, whereas you will be relieved from this sin by chanting the holy name of Ram just once. It means he doesn't believe in the power of the holy name, therefore he should be out. He drove away. He said, yeah, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. You are an atheist. You don't believe in the holy name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he asked this question. He says, if all the Vedas, if all the scriptures say that this is such a powerful method, that you should just chant the holy name of God just once to accomplish all the results, why do we have to chant so many times? Why do we have to chant 16 rounds? Because it's an important question. Sometimes we have to know the answer to this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains a very interesting thing. He says, yes, when you chant the holy name once, all your sins are washed away. All the consequences, all the reactions of your sinful activities are not there anymore. But the problem is that you still have your material mind. The reactions are gone, but the mind is there. And our material mind has a very peculiar quality. It likes dirty things, somehow or other. So even though the mind becomes totally purified by chanting the holy name, it will immediately find another dirt and will get dirty again. So this is how it works. He says that the mind will find lowest possible position and will find lowest possible people, lowest possible places, dirtiest kind of situations. And therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you know, it is said in the Shastras that you have to chant as much as possible, because when you are chanting, you are more or less relieved from this tendency. But as soon as you stop chanting, you will be again engaged in some kind of dirty things. So this is what happens. This is what happens with our mind. While we are here, we are still in a very dangerous position. There was one interesting story in this regard. Our mind is programmed to find some dirty things and somehow or other find some pleasure in these dirty things. It's amazing, you know. You know it's dirty, you know it's bad. Still, somehow or other, the mind is trying to squeeze out the pleasure from these things. Even though we chant Hare Krishna, and still the tendency is still there. This is a nice little story. There was one garbage man. And this garbage man, he was, you know, his whole life he was collecting garbage. And once he was passing by in the market. He was going through the market. And he was in a place in the market when they sell incenses and perfumes and everything. So he was going there. And all of a sudden he just fainted. And the people ran to him and they started, you know, fanning him and giving him some perfumes and trying to relieve him. But the more they were trying to do this, the more he was just in a swoon, you know, they couldn't do anything. So another garbage man was passing by and he saw this dirty man lying down and all these people was putting some perfumes to him. And he immediately understood what is the problem. So he went to some garbage place and he brought some stinking piece of this and put it in his nose, and he immediately was relieved and he said, oh, finally something nice is coming. Now my mind is again enlivened and relieved. So this is what the mind is. The mind is looking for dirty place. And even though we're trying to engage the mind with Krishna, even though we're experiencing the higher taste and higher happiness in this engagement with Krishna, still, you know, the mind is trying to drag us down. So therefore, this program of Krishna consciousness is so powerful. We have to understand, first of all, the statement of Prabhupada, genius statement of Prabhupada, that you can only be happy if you have this highest goal, ultimate goal, fixed in your consciousness. But you can only have this highest, ultimate goal fixed in your consciousness if you are constantly engaged. Krishna is saying here, nasti bhukti buddhir ayuktasya, if your mind, if your intelligence is not engaged, is not connected with Krishna constantly, through different activities which you are doing, then you will be lost. Then you will not have peace and ultimately you will not have happiness. So therefore the program of Krishna consciousness is such a powerful thing because it allows you to basically be engaged or be connected with Krishna 24 hours a day. And that's exactly what we have to strive for. That's exactly the program which Prabhupada gave. He very often repeats this saying. He says we have to mold our own life in such a way that we remember about Krishna 24 hours a day. Whatever we are doing, if we are doing something, we have to do it for Krishna. And if we are free, we have to do something for Krishna specifically. We have to do some seva. And especially this most powerful activity, which is the essential part of our sadhana, the chanting, has to be there very strongly established. If it's there, if early in the morning we get up and we chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. It's like to get an injection. You know, if you go to somewhere to Africa, you know, in Africa, in some countries, you are not allowed in the country if you don't have an injection against the yellow fever or something like this. You have to have all kinds of injections to be immune because it's so infested with different germs and different, you know, diseases there. So as soon as you go there, the germs will come and beat you or whatever, you know, whatever they do. I don't know what they do. But you will get this disease. So in the same way, where, you know, England is not much better than Africa in this sense. There may be no yellow fever here. But still these germs of sense gratification, of sinful kind of activities, of sinful vibrations, it's there. Right now, there are probably some kind of wireless network is here, and we are in the internet. And the internet is a big net with all dirty things, you know, and it's, we are out there in the net. We're already in this big net. There's so many big fishes in this internet, and all these people, and there's so much dirt is there. That's the point. When we're here in this material world, there's so much dirt. And our mind has the specific affinity, specific kind of liking to this dirt. And therefore, it's so important to have this injection, which will protect us. If early in the morning we chant, it's the same as to have a good, nice shot of injection within our system. And then during the day, it will be gradually used and gradually it will be gone. But then next morning we have to do it again. So therefore Prabhupada gave us this program and he said, you have to try to mold your life in such a way as to always remember Krishna. And when you remember Krishna, you are peaceful. Because Krishna is the best friend, Krishna is the proprietor of all. And you don't have to worry. He has to worry. That's his job. And because he's so powerful, he doesn't worry either. So when you become a devotee, you stop worrying. You stop being disturbed. Because again, disturbance, the only reason for disturbance is the lack of ultimate goal of life, as Prabhupada says. And this program of Krishna consciousness help you to keep fixed in this ultimate goal of life. You chant your rounds, you try to do as much as possible. Because sometimes Prabhupada said, yes, 16 rounds. And sometimes Prabhupada said, no, you have to chant 24 hours a day. 16 rounds is not enough. So it's just, 16 rounds is just a concession for the beginners. But if you do it, you immediately feel. You don't have to be scared. He also said, if you chant 16 rounds, that's enough. He said, it's enough to go back home, back to God. It's enough to keep your consciousness on a certain level. It's really enough to make a very lasting and strong impression upon your consciousness so that it will always be connected with Krishna. So during the morning you do this, and during the day you do your work, and then you try to do some seva, which is also very important, because seva is the way to be connected directly with Krishna through our energy. We are doing so many things, but if it's not connected with Krishna, directly or indirectly, it's useless. Because again, it will become the same useless pursuit of different goals and different things, which only dissipate our energy. If so many goals are there, it only dissipates and really dries up our consciousness. But when Krishna is there, then you're engaged in this work and you're not even tired. Prabhupada is the best example. He was the oldest one in Krishna consciousness movement and he was the hardest working in Krishna consciousness movement. He was sleeping for 3 hours a day and he was getting so much energy that everyone was amazed. Why? Because when you're wasting your energy in pursuing these little, tiny, useless goals, then you're dried up. But when you're pursuing this highest goal, you get so much energy from Krishna. So this is the way to go. This is the way to live. This is the way to be happy in this world. And Krishna, he speaks Bhagavad Gita only for this reason. He says, Balade Vidyabhushan explains in the beginning that Krishna, he put Arjuna in illusion. His best friend he put in illusion. For what? Just to give us chance. It's actually interesting. Baladeva Vidyabhushan explains in the preface to Bhagavad Gita that when Krishna was there, it was very easy for people to have the goal set. They need just to have a glimpse of Krishna's beauty. Whoever would just see Krishna, all their doubts would dissipate. You know, here he is. To be with this person is the highest goal of my life, the highest aspiration. I don't need anything else. He is so powerful, so benevolent, so beautiful, so kind, so compassionate, so renowned, so intelligent, so famous. You know, people would see him and that's it. They would lose their heart. But then Krishna knew that when he will be gone, so many people will come and they will not see him directly. So Baladeva Devotion said, for these people, means for us who are lost in this material world, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Because he wants us to be happy. He wants us to be ultimately happy. And he again and again says how to become happy. And specifically in this verse he says, the only way to be happy is to be always connected through your intelligence with Krishna. And to be connected through intelligence means to be connected through your activity. Because intelligence is the guiding force for our activity. And if we are connected with Krishna in this way, then we are peaceful in the beginning. And we know this, when we listen something about Krishna, we become so peaceful, then we fall asleep. That also happens. This peace comes, you know. Somebody, because of the excess of peace, starts snoring. But at least this is something. Because he says, Asante Sekudavsu come. How you can be happy without peace? But then, on the highest stages, it's not just peace. It's a very ecstatic state of consciousness when you only, you know, when you fall in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the most beautiful, the most famous, the most renowned, the most intelligent person. So this is what we should do. And this is the best for us. Believe me, Krishna doesn't need it. He is self-satisfied. He is not saying this to exploit us. He is not saying this to get something from us, you know. There's a greedy god somewhere there and he is trying to exploit us. No. He only cares about our happiness. And that's what he says. Just connect your intelligence with me, with the highest goal. And in this way, you will get your life fixed. Otherwise you will always be on this flickering, tottering platform when there is no possibility of peace in this ever-changing world. So, thank you very much.
Questions?
Yes.
Right, you mentioned that how we're always living in the past and also trying to resolve for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the key of actually living in the present for the moment that's here now?
The key is actually to be absorbed in what we're doing and not to be attached to our fruits. We're living in the past or in the future. There are two reasons. There are many reasons for this, but the two main reasons. One is that because we're usually suffering in the present, and we want to get rid of suffering just by driving our mind somewhere in the future or in the past. Because it's kind of, you know, if you really try to see what's going on in your body, you will feel this pain is there, this is there, you know. Or you're bored. You know, usually there's only two conditions at present. Either you're bored or you are suffering. So therefore people, they're always dreaming, you know. Oh, it will be nice after some time when I become 80 years old and probably everything will be very fine. And then when they become 80 years old, they say, oh, when I was 20 years old, it was so nice. But it was not nice. It was the same. So that's one reason why we're always there. And of course another reason is because we are have this passionate or tamasic intelligence. When we are passionate means we're attached to the future. Because passion means I want the fruits, and fruits are always in the future. So the future, which doesn't really exist in reality, only present is existing. So the future is passion. And when we're attached to the past, it's tamasic. You know, when people, they always, you know, oh, it was so nice, it's so bad now, but it was so nice before. That's all tamas. That's all tamago. So when they're young, they dream about the future. They're rajasic. When they become old and they become tamasic, they dream about the past. And it was. But sattva means present. And basically, when you are present, the time loses power over you. Actually, when you are at present, it is called samadhi. Because in samadhi, in trance, people are there, you know, they're there. They're concentrated on this particular moment. And there is no past and there is no future. There is only present. And that's exactly the state in which Krishna is always. You know, Krishna is always. It is said that there is no past and there is no future in the spiritual world. There is everlasting present. It basically means a certain state of consciousness, the state of consciousness in samadhi. All the living beings which are there in the spiritual world, they're in samadhi. They're so happy doing what they're doing that they're not dreaming about future or past. They're there. So this is not easy, what I mean to say. But the preliminary step to this is to be sattvic. When you're sattvic, the sattva gun means that you're more or less here. You're more or less happy, you're more or less here. But transcendental sattva means you're always in trance. So rajas will bring you to the future, tamas will take you to the past, but sattva will keep you here and it will give you some satisfaction. But transcendental thing, when you really invest your consciousness now, because why our practice is called Krishna consciousness? It means that we have to be conscious. See, as soon as the soul gets the body is unconscious. The body is dull matter. And therefore we struggle, you know. We have this dual nature. This dull body, you know, which is unconscious. And the soul which wants to just laugh and sing and dance. And the body says, no, cool down. Just sleep here. So when the body takes over, it's always, you know, we become less and less conscious. So Krishna consciousness means to become conscious again. To become really conscious of everything which we are doing. To invest consciousness. And in the beginning it seems to be little, you know, because we have to overcome the resistance of the dull, unconscious nature, which is really bringing us down. And therefore we try to do it, and then, you know, and then Hare Krishna, we fall asleep. So, therefore some struggle will be there in the beginning, but when we experience this, when we experience what it means to be in trance in samadhi, then we will not really exchange it with this dull consciousness. What happens when somebody is practicing Krishna consciousness is can be compared with the state between the wakeful state and the sleep. Anyone experience this when you're dreaming, you're sleeping, and then you have to wake up. The alarm clock very cruelly, you know, making this horrible, most horrible sound in the universe. You have to get up. So it's a very uncomfortable state, right? Because, you know, you woke up a little bit, but then you say, oh, it was so nice. So there is a struggle. You know, some part of you wants to be awake and some part of you wants to go back to sleep. And sometimes, you know, you go back to sleep and the alarm clock will go again. But then when you're awake, it's nice. It's much nicer than to sleep, you know. Actually, what is the fun to be sleeping? You know? There's nothing good about it. So the Krishna consciousness, when we practice it, is like this. It's something in between. Therefore, it's a struggle. Sometimes we think it was so nice when I was a dull, And when I didn't know about anything and I didn't have to chant, it was so nice there. Why don't I sleep again? But then we have to know that it's much nicer when we are awake. When we set our direction very strongly. And when we are awake, we really appreciate it. We don't want to go to bed. Again, back to sleep. So there is some struggle there. And it means that we have to really be here now, especially when we chant. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
It's practically like for someone like myself, like many other, it's very hard to kind of engage in present moment when you chanting, because you're right, you go in the present or you go into future or past. Now, what are the practical ways you can give us in today's life that we can get our intelligence engaged with the God?
See, there is no other way. There is no trick. There is holy name, and you have to concentrate on the holy name. And it will be a struggle for some time, but Krishna says, your mind will always, you know, travel somewhere. And Krishna says this. Krishna admits this. He knows this. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a normal state. But he says, when it goes somewhere, you bring it back. And it will go again. But you bring it back. And what you will notice, that ultimately the mind will go on a shorter distance. So it will be easier to bring him back again and again and again. So more or less it's a practice. Krishna says, when Krishna answers the same question which you ask, because Arjuna said it's not possible, it's not practical. You ask me, give us some practical thing. Arjuna says, it's not practical. Can you give me something practical? So Krishna says, I know it's not practical, but still you have to do two things. He says, abhyasa yoga, abhyasa and vairagya, vairagyana cha, abhyasena cha. He says, you can do it. If you do abhyasa, abhyasa means repetition, practice. You know, you bring back, you try to concentrate. And then vairagyana means you renounce the fruits again. If you're too much attached to different goals and to different desires, especially during the chanting, that's not good. And this, at least in this, you know, for 1 hour or 2 hours a day, you may put aside all your different things. It's not a big deal. You will not lose anything. Just put everything aside. Now something very important is happening. You're speaking with God. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Nam Nam, Hare Hare. So, and then just by this practice of vairagya, of this detachment, and by the practice or repetition of this thing, you gradually will feel something. And you will feel how your mind is absorbed. When I explained this little experiment which we did in the Brahmacharya Ashram, the whole experiment was designed in such a way that people would be concentrated. And at the end, when they were chanting for Krishna, you know, they were chanting from the soul. When we chant, we're chanting usually by the lips. You know, the lips are chanting, the mind is somewhere else, and the soul is sleeping. So that's what's happening. So at best, what we can do that the mind start chanting for a short while with the lips. Lips are chanting and the mind is chanting. But then the mind says, I will chant something else and start doing something else. But through this experiment which we did, through this little experience which they had, we kind of try to find who I am. I am this little particle of consciousness. I am this conscious I. And all these roles and goals are not, you know, it's all artificial, it's all superficial. So through these different exercises, they felt it. And when I asked them, just try to melt the heart of Krishna. And you can try to practice it tomorrow. Just put Krishna in front of you. Govinda is there. And he's everywhere. He's Vasudev, he's Vishnu. Vishnu means all-pervading. So he's just in front of you. And you're really addressing him. He's a person. And you're calling him, you're saying something to him. And you're saying something, you know, in such a way that you want to melt his heart. You want, ultimately what we want to attract the mercy of God, right? So there is a way to do it. You know, we have to be very sincere for this. So when you chant in this mood, just for one round, because, you know, 16 rounds, it's too long. You know, we cannot be ourselves so long. Maybe for 5 minutes we can try to do it. So just try to speak from the bottom of your heart and to chant. You will get an amazing experience. I guarantee you, I swear to you. Just try it.
Does that mean 1 round is enough?
No.
No.
One round is enough. One time is enough. But then you have to chant 16 rounds still. This is this is the way of Krishna consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Tayam, you give me one fruit, one flower, and little water, and little leaf, and then everything will be done. And then he says, Yat Karosu Yadashnasi, whatever you do, do it for me. So it starts with, give me one fruit and one flower, and then he says, whatever you do, do it for me. That's how he tricks us. He says, just, I didn't need anything, just one flower. And then, yeah, give me everything. So, no, you chant. Because if you don't do it, you know, in a prescribed manner, you will not achieve much. Prescribed manner means you try to be engaged constantly. But, you know, this experience of one good round is very powerful. It will give you a lot of inspiration and a lot of encouragement.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you chant mantra, it is necessary to use your lips and your tongue. Can you chant in your mind?
Well, Lord Chaitanya said that when you chant, for us it's easier to concentrate. When we chant with the lips. But the proper way of chanting is that it's not that you have to do it loud. You do it a little bit. Actually, japa means that only you can hear. Japa means you murmur in such a way that only you can hear. Nobody else can hear. That's the proper way of chanting. This is the best way to concentrate. When you're only doing it in the mind, it's more difficult. When you're doing it in a very intense way, loudly, then it's also, after some time, it becomes difficult. But when you do this is the proper japa, basically. The definition of japa, if when you chant, when only you can hear how you chant. So this is the best recommended way. But you can do it in the mind also, if you want. But the best recommended is like this. Oh, if you chant on a train, you don't have to do it loudly. You don't have to announce it to everyone that I'm chanting. Listen to me.
Anything else?
Matt, can I ask a question?
Yes.
You mentioned that one should be engaged in Krishna all the time. Now, how can one divide the time? Like, you know, we chant, we listen, we add service and other things. How is it best? Otherwise, it will become like one thing more than another.
Well, Prabhupada, he gave this program. He said that you chant 16 rounds and you do some seva the rest of the day. You do some practical work. Because he knew that we are a little restless and it's difficult for us to chant all the time. So this is the good balance which he gave. 2 hours you chant and you still have 22 hours. Which is a lot of time. And you can do so many other things during that time. And sometimes I heard this explanation that there is these two main rules which we have to follow. Sarvi vidi nisheda syut. Satanam, what is this? Smartavyas. Satanam vishnu vismartavyasna jatuchit. There are two main rules that we should remember about Vishnu all the time, and we should not forget about him. So basically when we chant, it's the time for active remembering about Krishna. Then we have to really, you know, see Krishna and really remember about Krishna. And when we do some practical work, it's the means, when we do it for Krishna, it's the means not to forget about him. So in this way we fulfill all these most important instructions. When we do something and we, you know, we mentally renounce the fruits of it, we devote it to Krishna and we try to do something for the devotees, we try to serve devotees, try to serve the mission, try to do something practical, it helps us not to forget about Krishna. He will always be there in our work, in our activities. And the balance is like this, 16 rounds and then, you know, because otherwise we become a little restless if we have to do more. Because of our passionate nature, we have to be more passionately engaged in some spiritual or pseudo-spiritual activities. We should engage our energy, and that's the balance which Prabhupada gave.
Time.
Yeah.
You say in samadhi,
we're
going to timeless.
Yeah. Because see, time factor is representative of Krishna, of will of Krishna in this material world. And when he says I'm time, he says mrityu sarva harashtyaham, I am death, which comes and which snatches away everything. Which really deprives everyone of everything. So this time factor is not, it's Krishna, but not in a very benevolent feature. It's a specific manifestation of Krishna in this material world. For those people who don't want to surrender to Krishna. Everyone has to surrender to God. Everyone has to bow down to God. And some intelligent people, they do it willingly. They bow down to him. And those who don't want to do it, they will still bow down to him. But at the moment of death, they will just full dandavat. He comes in this feature of time. So when we reach Krishna proper in his personal feature, then there is no time. There is everlasting present, samadhi. Samadhi means you're always in present. But when we're here, we're slaves of time. We are more or less bound by time. And time is more or less kind of pushing us around and depriving us of everything, depriving us. We are trying to establish ourselves, but the time comes. That's powerful because it's God himself. It's his representative, his agent, but not his ultimate feature. His ultimate feature is timeless. And the ultimate state of consciousness is timeless.
I just obviously we've heard this lecture and we want to live in the present. but by the time you've got to the man that we'd probably have forgotten what to speak of tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off. Even more.
what's the and we forget, and every now and then the jolt will come, but how to become a serious practitioner, because we can just ride along the wave and be a casual follower or a Sunday worshipper or whichever way it is, and miss the principle of being serious in the name of, perhaps it's too difficult.
Yeah, there are so many excuses, and the excuses will be there unless and until somebody has the real experience. Actually, the key, in my opinion, is to have the experience. When you, and Krishna himself says this, param drishtvani vartate, when you see, and see means experience, param drishtvani, when you see the param, param drishtvani vartate, then the excuses will not bother you anymore. You will not try to invent newer and newer excuses because you will like it. So basically the process works like this. You see somebody who is happy in Krishna consciousness and you really see that he's some special in this sense. And you want to become like this. And then, you know, and he says this is the way to become. This is the only way. If you're casual, if you're distracted, if you always, you know, whatever activity if you do it half-heartedly, it will not bring any result. So what to speak about spiritual activity, spiritual practice. So even if you don't experience it immediately yourself, but at least you see somebody who is so happy, despite of all these disturbances, then you really want to become the same or experience the same, at least to have little taste. Then you, and he says, for this you have to be serious. Because, you know, what is the use of doing something half-heartedly? There's no use. There's no result. Just in case it will save me at the moment of death. It will not save you at the moment of death. Because you have so many desires. If you do something, do it with full heart and full consciousness. Because, and the reward is great. That's what Krishna says. The reward is so great. Why not do it? Why do it half-heartedly? What's the use? So, but of course, to be convinced, to have the faith, you have to see somebody who is totally, completely blissful, and in this condition you want to really follow. Prabhupada was like this. There was this little story, which is one of my favorite stories about Prabhupada. And there was a huge crisis in ISKCON. It was, you know, of course, in ISKCON is always crisis. It was huge, you know. It was everywhere, all pervading, you know. You know, sometime during the Bombay story, when Prabhupada was there in Bombay, and it was heavy thing, court case. It's Mr. Nair, you know, police coming, fight here, the programmers in America, something there, you know, from all the sides. And Prabhupada is an old man, old man. You know, in his 70 years old, when people go to retire, he went to the West to take so much headache, you know, having all these hippies, you know, becoming, you know, devotees. Anyway, so this was heavy, 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 and it was becoming heavier and heavier every day. And finally, one telegram came to Prabhupada, and it was the heaviest telegram, something really mind-blowing. You know, Prabhupada read this telegram, and his face becomes stone-like. And he didn't say anything. He put this telegram, and he went to his room, and he closed the door. And the devotees, they were really intrigued what he's doing. And somebody started looking in the hole from the key, and they saw Prabhupada. He lay down on the floor, and he started laughing. Very happily, you know, he started laughing like this. And then, oh, so he's laughing. Anyone else under such a pressure would be already dead. And Prabhupada is just laughing. You know, and when you see somebody like this, somebody who really experiences this, what it means that the consciousness of Buddha, intelligence is connected with Krishna and how it gives the happiness. And then you want also to do this, and for that you really realize that you have to be serious practitioner. Because, you know, how else you can do it? There is no use. When you do it, you know, little bit, you know, it's just ritual. Ritual means you do something mechanically and you expect some good results. But Krishna consciousness means no mechanical things is allowed. Krishna consciousness means you invest your consciousness in whatever you're doing. And it's nice. It's good. You try it. It works. It does work.
Full remembrance. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.